easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So none of these things are bad qualities. These are all good things about love. This is the true love that comes from God. But the one I want to focus on is the fact that love rejoices in the truth. We talked a lot about truth and about what it is and what it does. Well, I can tell you today that it's worth rejoicing in, that it's good for us to think about the truth. Rejoicing means that we're taking pleasure in, we're appreciating the good things that are in the truth. We're happy about the truth. So I trust that we've all been rejoicing in the words that have already been spoken this week, because there was a lot of good news there. We rejoice in the truth partly because of who we are and partly because of what the truth is. So first of all, we rejoice in the truth because of who God has made us. Now, God himself rejoices in the truth. Now, God has made us his children. And so on a very basic level, we rejoice in the truth because God himself does. Mm-hmm. We rejoice in what those who are close to us, what those we love, we rejoice in what they rejoice in. It's who God is. It says that God, with in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And then Jesus said to his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's who Jesus is. And when we have love for Christ, this charity rejoices in the truth. We rejoice in what who God is and what he rejoices in. But we also rejoice in truth, not just because it makes God happy. God has actually put his nature within us, so that we rejoice in it because it's what we love as well. He put his love in our hearts, and this love is what rejoices in the truth. 2 Peter 1:4 says that by these promises you might be partakers of the divine nature. That means God's character, who he is, God, according to these promises, God has put that within our hearts. These promises were the promises of the new covenant, where he says, I put my law in their hearts. And God has put that in our hearts, and along with that nature comes a love of the truth and rejoicing in the truth. We find truth to be valuable now. There are some people who really don't see a lot of value in truth. But God has made us value the truth. Psalm 119 verse 14 says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. And there are people in the world who chase after riches because that's what they find valuable. Well, we chase after the truth and we rejoice when we find it because it's what we find valuable. Later on in that chapter, it says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. This is like a victory when we can find some part of the truth, when God reveals to us the truth. It's like we won a battle and now we're taking the spoils of war. That's a reason to rejoice because we love it. We also rejoice in the truth because we no longer have a reason that we would want to hide in the darkness. So John 3:20-21, Jesus says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So when we had deeds that needed to be reproved, We wanted to stay away from the truth. We didn't want to hear what was right, and because that exposed that we were wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, now that God has made us light in the Lord, we no longer fear the light. We have gotten to the point where we hate the darkness just like God does. We want to come to the light. And we want our deeds to be made manifest because these are no longer our deeds. These are wrought of God in us. So we rejoice in the truth because of who we are. But we also rejoice in the truth because of what the truth is. Now, you don't rejoice in a message that spells doom for you. You rejoice in something that's good. But I want to make it clear that we are very blessed that the truth is good news. You know, there's nothing to say that the truth always has to be pleasant. There's a lot of truth that really is very difficult and painful. What if the truth was that we were going to be punished eternally for our sins? We would not be able to do anything about that. You know, the truth is the truth, and just because we want it to be good doesn't mean that it's going to be good news. The truth is unchangeable. Here's just an example of God speaking some truth that was not good news to the people. Jeremiah 44:26. Therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man in Judah and all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord liveth. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good, and all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Now that's the truth. And in fact, God said he swore even by his own name that this would happen. That is absolutely the truth. And there was nothing that they could do about it. But this truth didn't make them rejoice. It wouldn't have made us rejoice. But it's God's miraculous and just unimaginably great effort on the part of Christ that made it so that truth could be good for us. Amen. The truth is good news to those who believe it. So let's look at a few ways that the truth is good news for us. The gospel itself is good news. It is true that we have sinned, and it is true that the wages of sin is death. But the truth doesn't end at that point. In Acts, Paul and Barnabas were preaching to the Jews, and the Jews were not rejoicing in the truth. But then they said, you know, you put the truth from you, judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And it said, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. The Gentiles saw that this truth was good news. The gospel is good news. And the Philippian jailer, it said, they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house, and he took them in the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. The gospel is good news. It told that Philippian jailer that he could be saved, and he rejoiced in that truth. We've been told the same news, and we can rejoice in the same truth. The truth makes us free. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth tells us we no longer have to be slaves to sin. God has given us good news in the gospel.
Amen.
The truth gives us light and understanding. Jesus said, "Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, but I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." Well, let's rejoice in John's light for more than a season here. You know, there were publicans and sinners who continued to rejoice in that light that brought them to Christ. Well, this light gives us freedom, and it causes us to rejoice in that we can see things as they really are. The truth tells us that we're no longer bound under the bondage of the law. "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well." So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they read, they rejoiced for the consolation. God has given us consolation in the gospel that we are no longer put under this yoke which we are or our fathers couldn't bear. That we are justified by his by Christ's work and not by our own. We rejoice that the truth tells us we're no longer under the law.
Yes. And God, amen.
God could have said, God's truth could have come to us and said, "You have to keep the law, or you'll face the consequences." That would have been true. But God worked it out so that Christ's action allowed it to be true that we could be free from that. We are comforted by the truth that we have an eternal home. Paul said to them, "By the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." This was something that the Thessalonians were not as clear on as they should have been. And they didn't really understand this truth well enough. So when Paul writes to them and gives them the truth, it gives them comfort, because the truth is good news. And the truth is good news always. Mm-hmm. When can we rejoice in the truth? We can rejoice in the truth all the time, because if it's good news now, it's going to be good news tomorrow, because the truth doesn't change. By definition, the truth cannot change, otherwise it wouldn't be the truth. We can rejoice in the truth even in suffering. Truth is enduring and transcends temporary suffering. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 15:15. "O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke." So this is someone who is suffering at the hands of the people around him who don't believe. But the very next verse he says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." So even when evil men were persecuting Jeremiah, he could rejoice because God's word was speaking a blessing upon him, and he knew that up ahead there were rewards for him. Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." When we know the truth about our reward, we can rejoice in that suffering. And then to the Hebrews, he says, but call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, partly while you became companions of them that were so used. You were suffering, you were companions of those who were suffering. And he says, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, that is, taking away of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance.
Amen.
The reason that they could rejoice was that they had the truth. They knew. When we know something, then that gives us power over the temporary sufferings that we go through. Now, this one may be easier, but you can rejoice in truth in times of blessing too. When the disciples came back and the spirits were subject to them through Christ's name, Jesus told them, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
You know, even when the things on this earth are going well, you got to have your rejoicing based in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what charity does. And then we can rejoice in the time when the tribes of the earth are mourning. On the judgment day, it says, let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth.
Yeah.
Boy, can we rejoice with the creation when God comes to judge the world?
Amen.
We can, because God has made us righteous. We can rejoice in God's righteousness and God's truth, and we don't have to fear the day of judgment. So let's rejoice in the truth, and I'm confident that we have been already.
Amen.
Anybody have any more thoughts on this?
I especially liked how you the point you made about God rejoicing in the truth, and the scriptures do talk about this, as you pointed out. You know, like even in the creation, remember on the seventh day, it says God looked at all the things that He had made and said, "Behold, very good."
Mm-hmm.
And then regarding the sufferings of Christ, it said He saw the travail of His soul and He was satisfied. That's an eternal satisfaction. See, if it weren't for that satisfaction on the part of God, we really couldn't have it. We wouldn't have any hope.
Mm-hmm.
See, God, we couldn't have any hope that God was going to stay with what on this. See, even we're made in His image. If we knew that God was unhappy, if He knew that He wasn't a happy God, if we had this knowledge, even. You see, that would undercut everything else. You know what I'm saying? But see, He is satisfied.
Amen.
He's satisfied with His Christ.
Amen.
He's satisfied with what Christ has wrought. See, and so therefore, because God is, He's rejoicing. This is the glorious gospel of the blessed God, right? The happy God. So we can rejoice in the fact that God is rejoicing in His Son, and we rejoice in Him, and that. In a sense, that actually is like that makes everything sure.
Men talk about an acquired taste. This is a gifted taste. We have to be given the taste for that comes with the new creature. The scripture says that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I do.
Yeah.
I like to retain. I mean, that's the love of the truth. In fact, it's so critical. Paul talked about receiving a love of the truth that we might be saved.
Yeah.
So it's much more than just an enjoyable time.
Mm-hmm.
Loving the truth is about redemption.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being reconciled,
yeah.
to God. Rejoicing in the truth is another expression of being reconciled to God.
Mm-hmm.
We enjoy God.
This, we're able to rejoice now in blessings and tribulation or whatever it is we go through, because we know that Christ is sitting at the right hand of God interceding for us. Mm-hmm. We are receiving blessings from God, whether the earth sees it or not, whether our flesh realizes it or not, we're receiving blessings of God. But our rejoicing is not in this world, it's in heavenly realm. It's in the kingdom of God. Because we know that one day, in a twinkling of an eye, that we're going to be transformed into a spiritual body. And when we're transformed into that spiritual body, then all will be right. There will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. This life is just temporal. It's a flood of vapor. And I don't want to sit there and dismiss or make tribulations and infirmities bring them down, because I know people suffer. But it's just for a time. And we know that one day we will see the Lord in the air. And all the things that we have gone through will be definitely worth it.
Amen.
And that's how we can rejoice. We can rejoice with one another. We can joy with one another when someone's going through bad times or good times. Because we know that we have a hope.
Amen. Amen. You know, God not only rejoices in what He does; He rejoices actually in who He is. He's the blessed God. And remember, in Psalm 16:11, remember it says, "In Thy presence is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." See, God is supremely blessed. He's supremely happy. And so all of His works are everything that emanates from His person. See, that, you know, it's particularly the salvation which is in Christ Jesus of eternal glory. See, this is an expression of the happy God. This God at whose right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I was just thankful to, as you described it, marvel that the truth is good news for us. And like Ahab said, there's one prophet of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesied anything good about me, but only evil. So, but the good news that he's come and made it so that he can bestow good upon us.
There's a lot of people who have deluded themselves into thinking everything's going to be fine, that the truth is not good for them. They don't want to think about it. But we don't have to trick ourselves. You know, if we know the real truth, it is good.
Amen.
Remember years ago, Brother Al said, the truth has a value of its own. We can rejoice in the truth because of the truth.
Amen. In that context, I was saying it doesn't really matter who says it. If it's truth, it has a value of its own. See, so.
Yeah, Paul says he rejoices that Christ was preached. Truth or pretext.
Right.
Very good,
brother.
Thank you. Let's take a break for a few.